Welcome to USA Football's Coach and Coordinator Podcast, where top football coaches from around the country share their stories, philosophies, concepts, and strategies to help you get better on and off the field. Now, here's your host, Keith Grabowski.
Welcome to USA Football's Coach and Coordinator Podcast. I'm joined today by the defensive backs, recruiting coordinator, and special teams coordinator at Muskingum University, Tyler Walker. Tyler, it's great to have you here.
I appreciate it. I'm glad to be on.
Tyler, always good to talk to somebody who's in the OAC, a conference I'm very familiar with. Certainly has its challenges week in and week out, and you guys are assigned the task of really rejuvenating a football program at Muskingum that, it's tough. It's a tough conference. Like I said, there's certainly Mountain Union there at the top, and John Carroll has been on the top of the national polls lately, but, you know, there is not a weak opponent on the schedule. So football in the OAC is very tough. How have you found that experience here in your first year?
Yeah, coming into it our first year, we knew that the OAC was one of, if not the toughest Division III conferences in the country. Being from the state of Ohio, know all the schools, and so coming in and taking over Muskingum, we knew that there is a rich tradition here. I mean, there's over 500 wins and second all time in conference championships with 13 here, College Football Hall of Famers. So success has been here. It just as of late, it has not. So we're super excited about the support we have here from the administration staff, our athletic director, the staff and the faculty has given us all the resources we need in order to be successful here. So we're excited and know that, you know, if you're going to play Division III college football, you're going to play in the toughest conference in the country, and, you know, playing the national champs every year right up the road from us. So it's exciting.
Coach, as you guys got into Muskingum, it really doesn't matter what had happened in any program before you took over. I mean, some challenges are presented more than others, but you guys got to get in and establish that culture. So as a member of that staff, you know, what kind of things did you guys do to really get in there and establish what you're going to be about?
Yeah, we got hired, Eric Yeider, head football coach. It was in March. So we didn't have, and I came shortly after, we didn't have a lot of time as far as, you know, to recruit. And we kind of jumped right into it. I think I was here probably 48 hours and we started spring practice. So the first thing we wanted to do is like you said, that we didn't care about anything else. What happened previous to when we got there, the first thing we wanted to do was improve the technique and fundamentals at each position. I wanted to see what we had. The second thing we tried to do is lay the foundation to our offense, to our defense, and to our special teams, and identify our strengths and weaknesses. So we did that first spring. And then the biggest thing was, you know, was laying down the foundation and what our culture was going to be, what we were going to be about. That's easier said than done. It takes time. There's a lot of people who, you know, the first phase, and I talked really with the defensive backs and the special teams guys about this, is anywhere you go, people respond to change different. You know, we had some guys who were evaluating us just as we were evaluating them. And we gave them time to do that. And then we kept emphasizing the relentless effort we were going to put in things, the attention to detail, the character that we wanted. And we continuously, same message from our whole staff. So that was kind of we came in and we kind of did that thing, got through spring, got to the summer, and kind of revamped kind of what we were doing from a culture standpoint.
I think as a part of any program, the systems you bring to the table kind of can be helpful or help get things going for you. And you guys, you know, experienced some success there in your first year, going 4-6 on the season and, really, again, laying that foundation to get things turned around and going the right way for the Muskies. Talk to us a little bit about what you guys brought to the table in terms of your defensive system and why it's important for, you know, what you guys are trying to do.
Yeah, our first, you know, our first year, we, you know, we felt that, you know, going 4-6 was what we wanted. Obviously not. But having, you know, being tied for one of the best records in the last 15 years, beating a couple opponents on our schedule that hadn't been beaten for some time was huge for us. You know, from a defensive standpoint, you know, we are a 4-1-4, 4-1-6 defense. You know, it's designed with you know, to kind of take away and defenses RPOs nowadays and taking away easy throws and but all the while still loading the box. It came from our defense coordinator Nathan Roach from Wartburg and played at Northwest Missouri State and kind of originated. And is it to a T what they do? No, there's some adaptations. We've kind of, you know, messed with some things here and there, but same principle. Our front, you know, the front seven rarely, you know, we rarely have to adjust responsibilities. You know, they, in our secondary has basic, basic coverage checks that we can use to any situation, you know, that we could play a football game in a couple calls and we have adjustments off of that. You know, our alignments from initially, they look unorthodox, you know, our techniques, they look different. And it makes it really difficult for people to prepare for during a game week. And to us, you know, it's fairly simple. You know, we're not, you know, rigid, fit defense. Okay. Our linebackers get to be playmakers. They're not robots locked into those rigid fits. Our defense linemen are aggressive vertical players who can be disruptive. And, you know, we can rush the passer 3-step, 5-step play action. It doesn't matter. And our back end gets played fast and physical. So it is unorthodox and it does give people a hard time. And we feel that given that, and given the amount of time we had to install this, you know, that it was going to be a good defense. And Coach Roach came in and I had never been a part of it either. I'd been a part of you know, a 4-2-5 quarters, you know, fit to the end of the days person. So for me, it was a learning adjustment. Our defense, our whole defensive staff. But once we got, you know, got it down and really learned it, it's something that we feel that more and more people will gravitate towards.
Coach, before we got going, I know you talked about some of the characteristics of this. Number one, kind of having those hybrid guys, which we're starting to see more and more really across all football, but especially the college level. I see it trickling down to the high school level, the idea of hybrid guys, right? That guys can play multiple positions. They might be on the back end on one play and then standing up on the line of scrimmage as a defensive end the next play. So those guys are part of it. And then also this idea with the way you guys are putting together the scheme that you're able to really dictate what you're going to see, that, you know, through the way you align and through the responsibilities of your defenders, that you can eliminate some things that that 4-2-5 quarters defense, for example, would see from week to week.
That's exactly right. You know, we with, you know, basically not every, but a large portion of football has some RPOs built into it and everyone, you know, gravitating towards that. You know, and that's the modern offense, and we match that. You know, and we feel we can eliminate RPOs, you know, pre-snap just by our alignment, okay? And we also feel, like you had mentioned, that dictate, you know, I feel that as our defense and our defensive staff, we can dictate who's got the ball, you know? And with RPO offenses, you know, you have two different type, you know, of RPO, so to speak, offenses. You got those dual threat quarterbacks who can run and throw. Then you got more of a pocket type quarterback who they're going to RPO and throw the ball more. But we feel that based off of alignment, we can dictate who has the football, you know, and then we can, and once we figure out who they want to carry the football, we feel like we can create some, you know, line movements, hesitations, create some different cover down looks. We're really, we haven't changed anything based on all we've changed is an alignment pre-snap So we feel that has been really, really helpful for us this year.
Coach, just an opinion type question, as you mentioned it, the two different types of RPO teams, that one that has that dual threat guy versus the one who has that guy who's going to sit back and try to pick you off as well as hand the ball off. He's going to distribute, right? Which do you have a preference for, I guess, game planning wise? Do you find that one is a little bit easier to plan for than the other?
You know, I think it varies. Just for the sake of the question, you know, I think quarterbacks that can run the football present a challenge. Just for instance, and that still has the ability to throw the football. We'll go back to you know, just an inside zone RPO. I mean, really. You got four different, you got a pre-snap gift, so to speak, we'll say in the boundary. You got the inside zone, the actual run play that could be happen. Then you got the quarterback keep aspect of it. And then you can have the pitch phase, so to speak, the bubble as a fourth phase. So if you got a quarterback who's not a running threat, I'd feel a little, at least I know what I'm getting. If you got a quarterback who can throw the football, and run the football and run more than throw, I think you got a big problem, because now you got extra gaps to defend. You got all kind of different things that you got to account for. So I think a guy who can run the football creates a problem.
So let's talk about that guy a little bit and maybe how this defense presents some advantages over, you know, some of the more traditional the 4-2-5s and quarters look teams. You got that dual threat guy. Now, how are you guys able to, as you said before, dictate a little bit to where that football is going to go?
Yeah. With our defense, you know, we're going to first and foremost, you know, as a defense, you know, we are trying to, our number one priority is what we want to do is, obviously, we got to stop the run. You know, we want to stop the run right now. So with that being said, you know, if there's a guy who can run the football and he can also throw a little bit, you know, we're going to take away those other options by alignment. So now if we can dictate that we know he's going to run the football, well, that's what we're predicated on. You know, based off of alignment, we can still load the box and give the illusion that, you know, that we aren't going to have enough guys down in there, but we really are, because you're not going to get our, you know, overhangs out, so to speak, to be past responsibility. So we feel, hey, if we can dictate that he's going to run the football, then we have some other means as far as our back end, some movements up front that we can kind of get him running east and west and let our backers run and be playmakers.
When you look at that aspect of it, I know we spent a lot of this offseason talking to guys who are utilizing the tight front and trying to fit that against really any personnel group and seeing a lot of creative ways of doing that. Essentially, you have that same kind of box, right? It ends up being a five-man box, but you have those hybrid guys now on the field who can run and as you said, get, you know, get them going laterally so those guys can come up and make plays. Fundamentally, how similar is what you guys do with a four-man front to, I guess, the philosophy and the concept behind some of what you've been seeing with the tight front?
You know, it is similar, because, you know, we're going to be, when you look at our front, you know, we're going to be in, you know, a couple two eyes and some fours, and we are going to have a lone mic backer in the backfield, and we're going to have two overhangs, so to speak, outside backers, that, you know, I wouldn't want to say the word, two gapping up front. But each gap is, you know, taken care of, whether that's our body, their body. We are going to, you know, create log jams up front where everything's going to be forced east and west, which is, it's going to be forced east to west. And we have two overhang backers standing there with zero pass zero gap responsibility as far as inside the box. So we're funneling everything there to kind of cut it off of force. You know, we're contained out there, and then we have a free a Mike Backer running east and west with zero. You know, he's a playmaker, and getting the football. So there is similarities to that, and we feel that it's been really good.
When you look at training up those hybrid guys, and I know you're more responsible for what you do with the back end of the defense with those the other four, but those overhang players that you're utilizing. First of all, I guess in recruiting, right? And recruiting is going to be an important part of what you guys there are doing there at Muskie to really get to the top of the OAC. What kind of guys are you looking for to play your hybrid guys in this 4-1-6 defense?
Those outside backers, you know, ideally in a perfect world, they could play in the back end. Is what they are. They're bigger body safeties, so to speak. We have a pretty good core this year. You know, we want guys with high football IQ, you know, great linebackers, know the game. We ask them, you know, to make some checks. They got to be disciplined. They got to be physical, and they got to be leaders, you know, in that group. And I know Coach Roach, he does a great job with our linebackers of getting them to understand, you know, what they're doing pre-snap, what they're doing post-snap, you know, and their alignment, you know, knowing that, you know, we got to be in certain spots based on, you know, certain formations and recognizing that and making sure that we get as much information pre-snap as possible, and seeing the big picture, being disciplined with our eyes, mirroring our keys, and he does a great job with that. But, you know, we feel that if we could get guys that could play in the back end, in theory, that's what we're kind of looking for.
Now, as the offensive pendulum, I should say, kind of swings back towards using bigger bodies, we've seen more and more of the 11 personnel coming into play and maybe less of the 10. And now a lot of guys talking about either 12 or 20 or even 21, knowing that the offense was designed to kind of take away some of the things with the RPO, the some of the zone read bubble type of things. What challenges do those bigger body offenses present to a defense like this?
Yeah, you know, I don't think, speaking our defense and defense in general, you know, I think personally, you know, one of the toughest formation, you know, is a 2x2, you know, 12 personnel. You got two tight ends on the field that could be split out or attached. It's just so hard to defend that if you have the personnel to do so. So that right there, because really now you're asking, you know, we have seven men down there in the box, and we got our safeties at, you know, 11 yards deep, and our corners are going to be pressed depending on the formation, playing man coverage, and we don't ask our safeties to be Michigan State-ish, I should say, of running downhill and being a, you know, factor in the run game. We ask, you know, obviously they have run responsibility, but they're not, you know, we're not asking them to get down there and play on an edge, so to speak, and in the run game, so that when offenses do, you know, get heavy and bring in those tight ends, you know, from a run standpoint, that's where we have to ask those outside backers, our Sam and our Will, who, you know, if they're attached, will be in nines, you know, to be able to get their run pass key, you know, be able to set an edge and be able to get everything to go east and west and let our Mike run and our safeties to show up.
So, Coach, as you look at getting into August here and getting into camp, and certainly you guys have been able to install some in spring with the limitations of no equipment at all at the D3 level. So you're really getting into a lot of the physical contact part here coming up in August. What's the approach in camp as you look at, you know, certainly you're going to run against your own offense, but you got to prepare for the opponents as well. So how do you, especially for your guys now that the hybrid guys who got to play on the back end, maybe if they see a 12 personnel team, they got to come up and play on the line a little bit more. How are you training those guys up in this defense to make sure that they're adequately prepared for all those different types of situations?
Yeah, I think just with anything else, you know, our defensive staff, we're pretty in tune with what we want and what we're trying to get. And I think it starts, with the freshmen we have coming in. I felt our staff did a really good job recruiting this year and getting some guys in here that we feel can help us play right away, especially on the defensive side of the ball. You know, but having a plan and being organized and being detailed, you know, everything that we will have installed, we will get as many reps as we possibly can, because our defense as a whole, you know, we have a really strong belief that it's not so much of what we do. You know, we do have something that's a little bit unique, but we focus more on the principle of it's how we do things. And as a defensive side of the ball, we're going to make sure, you know, that we're going to stop the run. We're going to be good at block destruction. We're going to get takeaways. We're going to tackle. We're going to eliminate big plays, you know, because we stress to our guys that defensive football, regardless of what you're doing, if you're in a 4-2-5, in the 4-1-6, you're in the stack, whatever it may be, it comes down to pursuing and tackling. So that's what we harp on. We want to eliminate pre and post snap penalties and really play fast and physical with relentless effort. And that's what we tell our guys before we get in to anything that we might see from somebody else. We hone into what we're doing as a defense. So we'll get reps. We'll get reps and reps and reps and different looks, and simplicity is where we focus on, and we truly, truly feel it's not so much about the 4-1-6, 4-1-4, our match defense. It's how we do things from day one.
Coach, I love that approach. That's something I always talk to my players about with when we thought about, you know, our offense and what we did, because you can look at an offense or a defense and, you know, from week to week say, wow, these guys are, they're a lot like this team or that team, but it really does boil down to that execution part of how you do things, the mental approach to it especially. And so as we look at the back end of this, and you know, started off by saying one of the characteristics of this was really dictating and by eliminating some things you're going to see. And I know a lot of that is done by what you guys do on the back end of things. So talk to us a little bit about the philosophy behind what you guys do with the defensive secondary.
Yeah, our defensive backs, you know, we feel we had an all-conference corner and we feel we have a capable all-conference safety that will be back with us this year, you know, and in the defensive back room, because I tell my guys all the time, hey, I grew up thinking I was a receiver in the NFL. I wanted to be a receivers coach. I coach receivers. So some of our DBs, we have receiver mindset as far as the ball is ours, so to speak. And I tell you back there, from a philosophy standpoint, you know, we're working for consistency, daily improvement. You know, we're going to be better than we were yesterday. You know, we're going to bring relentless energy and effort every day to practice. We're going to have confidence and swagger. We're going to compete at everything we do. We're going to be mentally and physically tough. And that's what we're doing. And I tell my guys, you know, really good defensive backs do a couple things consistently. And, you know, a good DB can do it here and there, but do it consistently, you know, playing fast and physical, being able to start and stop and change direction, because everything in the back end, everything in football is about change of direction. It's about reaction and being able to tackle in space and make plays on the ball in the air. And the biggest thing is, and this has been well documented, but we have to have a short, small memory. You know, a receiver runs the wrong route, no one in the stadium is going to know. I give up a touchdown on a post, everyone in the stadium knows. So that's what we do back there. And our guys love our defense. You know, we're going to play a lot of man coverage. You know, we're going to play a lot of, you know, off, and we're going to switch it up. We give our defensive backs, you know, we get into the mod and the meg and the man on the man and the meg everywhere he goes, depending on what we're in. and our safeties, just the 3-by-1 adjustments, we can spin down and have a little more aspect in the run game. So we are a fast and physical group that do, you know, they do have some things they have to, especially our safeties. They got to be confident. You know, they got to understand that you're my quarterback back there. You know, you got to get us, you got to get the whole back end in the right look and the right call, dependent on the formation, dependent on the personnel, dependent on game study and film review. The safeties do that. You know, they're making all the checks back there. And so we get smart guys back there, which we have, and then our corners on the perimeter, you know, they're in press man coverage. You know, they're press man coverage. Now, depending on what it is, like I said, it could be man. It could be Meg everywhere he goes. It could be man on demand. We could bail out and we get in the shuffle technique sometimes. So we do a lot of things back there that are exciting, and I love it. I love every aspect of it. Mano a mano out there, and it's exciting, and that's the kind of the culture we have in that DB room.
Coach, talk us through that Meg adjustment.
Well, we, depending on what we have, you know, depending on what the formation is, you know, our base quarters is we are going to be, we'll say 2-by-2, you know, we're going to be press man coverage, and we'll be mod is our base. You know, we'll let anything underneath, we'll let go, you know, we'll let go. And that's not every single rep, but for a base, it anything underneath, we'll let go. If he's vertical, we have a man to man. In certain instances, depending on game plan, depending on different coverage checks that we might have, so in the boundary, we might have to go. We might be magged. You know, if the boundary safety is in some other aspect of coverage, the boundary corner will be meg. And all that is telling our boundary corner that you now have him everywhere he goes. We don't change anything from a technique standpoint. We just know that everywhere he goes, he's ours. Whether that be across the field on a shallow route, if he's a vertical, if it's a post, if it's anything, he is ours. So that is the meg adjustment that we will have, and it's been good for us in certain situations, especially against personnel. You know, just because at the end of the day, just like defense, you know, offense is thinking players, not schemes, and then we think the same way. Being an offensive-minded guy, really. It's the same thing. You know, we're thinking who is our best coverage guy? Where is he? And I want to put him on their best receiver. Because if their best receiver beats my best DB, well, then that is what it is. Go recruit. But we don't want to get in the business of them out personneling us and getting guys that might be a little better athletically in a slot on a guy or creating personnel mismatches, which is what offense does. If they're going to create mismatches and make the defensive pay for that bad personnel. So we try to eliminate that with our meg adjustment.
Coach, when you look at your guys and their responsibility in the run game in general, with your base stuff, where are you looking for them to fit and provide run support?
Yeah, our safeties, they are, at 11 yards, you know, depending if it's two skill, they'll be 11 by 1 on the inside of the number two receiver. And we're reading that number two run pass, you know, and we are going to fit. We are going to make that backer correct. We are going to make him correct. So if our Sam to the field, you know, cuts off the stretch, and we're going to make him right and fit inside. If he, for some reason, gets pinned inside, well, we got to make him right. So we might be outside that. That's our whole business, is we are going to make that overhang backer right in the run game. So that's kind of what we'll do. And our 3-by-1, you know, it's a little different because we're trying to, with our boundary safety especially, you know, we're trying to get the best of both worlds as far as his pass responsibilities to the field, He's slow to go, and he cut back if it's run away. But we're also trying to get him to be a plus one in the boundary. But as far as we're making the overhangs right.
Coach, you mentioned how your everyday drills, your fundamentals that you're going to work every day, really a big part of this and a part of how you're going to make these guys successful on game day. Talk us through, you know, what you're going to install here and what you're going to work every day as the season gets started up.
Yeah, our defensive back drills, you know, we have our EDDs that we do every day, that different aspects of them. And this is, you know, something, you know, on the football journey from coaching high school football to Division I, Division II, Division III. There's a lot of drills that you could just dial up if you wanted to. You know, everything that I do from a drill standpoint is direct correlation to a situation that they might be in during the football game. So we don't do a ton of drills. We do a handful of drills, and we do them every day. So we'll do the ABCs. You know, every day, the first part of Indy on Tuesday and Wednesday, we'll say during the season, is our EDDs, and we're doing agility footwork. We're doing agility drills. And then Thursday, we'll do agility drills and finish. We'll always do block protection drills. We'll do contact tackling drills, and we'll do those every day. And, you know, we have one or two options that we'll use. And then spring ball and fall camp, our Indy's really technique driven. You know, we're working on our man coverage. We're working on our quarters coverage, our cover two. We're working on the different fundamentals and techniques that we need. And you know, once you get into the season, on top of our EDDs, we do a lot of route recognition of what we're going to see. What are the different keys? What's the window dressing that means something, and what's the window dressing from the offense that don't mean nothing? And the different adjustments we might have to make. But we are, you know, to a core in that DB room, we're going to work on agility. We're going to work on block protection, and we're going to work on tackling.
Coach, you bring up something that we all love to do to you guys, you know, on the offensive side of the ball is to do some of the window dressing and put things on film, essentially to take your time away, right? We want you to have to maybe work a little bit harder to go through those things. So, you know, what's the way for you as you guys break down an opponent to decipher that and be efficient in, you know, what you're really going to look for as far as a game plan and what you're going to throw out and not worry about?
Yeah, you know, having, you know, the best thing about, you know, when I was at Miami, I was with the receivers, and Coach Martin walked in. He said, "Hey, man, you're going to go be a defensive line GA." And I said, "Holy smokes." But I tell you, it was the best thing for me. You know, you look at things totally different. You know, you look at things that you'd never looked at before. And I still use a lot of what I do from a game plan, from a watching the game to hone in on where your eyes are supposed to be on different things from the staff at Miami. So from what the position now, as far as in our DB room, you know, the offenses that are multiple in what they do, from a formation standpoint, from a motion standpoint, from a personnel standpoint, it does. It takes a lot of our time. So we have to eliminate the nonsense is what, you know, I tell them. Eliminate the window dressing and get down. So we have to do a really good job as far as, especially in the back end, of personnel keys. Where are they putting certain people in certain concepts? When this guy's on the ball or off the ball, if he's in the slot, is he the number one to the boundary? Is he the number one to the field? What are we getting? And what are we getting when he's there? What are we getting when he's not in the game? What are we getting formation and personnel? What are we getting on down and distance? All of that goes into account. And we try to do that and try to hone in. Is it feasible to get every single look? No, we can't. We have to trust our preparation is what we tell her. We trust the preparation. Trust the time that you've spent on film study, and react, because and react and see, and have a better understanding of what you're going to get, because it's just impossible to get every look. But if we can narrow it down and rep the looks that we are going to get, that we know we're going to get, we feel a little better. And then the big thing that we tell our guys is what's the situation in the football game? Know the situation, communicate the calls, where are they at? Where are they at on the field? All of that dictates what you might get. And so that's why we take pride in our preparation, especially in the back end of what we're going to get, what we're going to see, and then executing our base calls and trusting our technique.
Coach, in terms of operations of the defense, I've seen more and more of the defenses adopting, I guess, the procedures that the offenses are doing to try to match the tempo and speed. I could think back to, the first days when I started using, tempo on a regular basis. I remember early on, we had a young QB. We would use tempo kind of in waves. We'd get into some things where we'd want to look to the sideline. And, that first year I was just waiting, okay, when is the defense going to change the play when I change the play? And it didn't happen until like a year and a half of doing those things when, we had to account for that. Okay, we're going to come back. It's going to be different. So now we have to account for that. Looking at for a time, we were able to really be multiple personnel group, and really the rules of the game forced us to slow down, because when we changed, the ref was standing over the ball. So that wasn't an advantage anymore. So I know offenses are constantly looking for procedural advantages. How have you guys matched that? What are some of the tools you've looked to use to match some of those up-tempo offenses?
Yeah, the up-tempo offenses, I mean, they can be, it can be problematic. What we try to do is, and this is, again, is my offensive, mind, so to speak, of it's not realistic to be in the perfect play call against a perfect look. It's just not. So sometimes you're going to have to let it ride and trust the technique and the preparation that you had and trust your players. And hopefully you have done a good enough job of teaching, your guys to a level where they can comprehend what we're trying to get out of them, so they don't have to think. They can just react. So if they are going up tempo and we are getting up tempo looks, it's the normal for us. We try to make it the normal where we get lined up. We get lined up, we make our call, we recognize the formation, the personnel, the down and distance, and then hone in and off a film study, eliminate what could be, eliminate what it is. Good film study from, a safety from an up-tempo offense, I'm the safety to the field. Well, the number two receiver can only do so many things. He's going to go vertical. He's going to release outside underneath. He's going to release inside underneath. He's going to block, or he's going to run a bubble. So depending on our film study, say it's a guy who never runs a bubble, we'll take that out of the equation. So I think preparation, more importantly than anything else, and then the simplicity of our scheme, is what allows us to be adjustable to whatever we might see. And you can't do that if you're super complex, and you can't do that if your players are thinking. But you can do that if you have players that know what they're doing, they know where their help is, they know their adjustments, and they're confident in doing so. Then let it ride, let them go and let our players make plays.
Coach, being a Division III guy, you definitely wear multiple hats. So I know there's only three listed in your title. I'm sure there are much more. I remember those days, but let's focus a little bit on that special teams coordinator aspect of what you do. And I'm sure that you're using a lot of the same guys that you do on the back end of the defense. Because when you think about it, special teams are really those hybrids on the field. You want those guys who can play in a tight space, but then they're going to have to be out in wide open spaces. Those are all space plays. So talk to us a little bit about, balancing all you do. And obviously you're heavily involved in the game planning with the back end of the defense. So balancing that and still being able to put a focus on the special teams part of it.
Yeah, you know, it's been something that I've really enjoyed is the special teams, and I really enjoy it because every day I get to walk into a special teams room and I'm interacting with linebackers, running backs, D linemen, DBs, receivers, and really you can tell what kind of football team you have by what kind of special teams you have. For instance, if you can't cover a kickoff, your football team's probably in trouble for a lot of reasons. So having that responsibility that basically the essence of our football team is what happens on our special teams. And I feel, that it can be a lot, but I don't know that if I had an opportunity, to run my own team, I would have a guy do just special teams like we do here, you know, and it all starts with the support from the top. Our head football coach, Eric Guider, he's a special teams guy. And he did it at Michigan Tech, and that's what we've done here. And I wouldn't want it any way because coaching one unit, you know, it makes you better at all the other units. You know, one voice in the special teams room, there's not a different coach coming in doing punt return, kickoff return, or it's mine. And they know, and they kind of get a feel of what the expectations are, what we're looking for, and our theory and our philosophy of special teams, you know, and ours is, you know, it's a big play and field position, you know, and we're going to focus on, you know, relentless effort, simplicity, and execution. You know, we're going to execute. So we don't have, and I learned real fast, being at Miami and Davenport and even at the high school level, is you get in here and it's no different from being an offensive coordinator, defensive coordinator. You got all these ideas that you see or hear on podcasts and you think you can do it. But it ain't no different than myself on special teams, you know, and I stopped that thinking real fast. Is we have very few schemes. You know, I don't need six different, you know, punt formations. I don't need six different kickoff returns because I'm going to tell you, you ain't no good at any of them if you got six. So we hold in and hone in on those few that we do and we try to execute those with relentless effort. It's simple from a learning standpoint, and we try to get our guys ready for every situation that they might see because really everything that we're doing on the punt team, protection-wise, on the return, on the kickoff return, on the kickoff, it's a carryover. We're still talking about leverage. We're still talking about pursuit and tackling and block disruption, you know, and we still talk about how we play a huge factor in the football game. You know, our goal is to make sure that we are putting either our offense or defense in a great situation from a field position standpoint when we hand them the football. And that's what we do. And, you know, we really hone in on working with all the different personnels. And I love it just for the simple fact is, you know, you get an opportunity, to work with some of the young guys, because I truly believe, you know, it's not, I love when people say, you know, your best players are playing on special teams. Well, I'm gonna go ahead and tell you, some of your best players aren't the best special teams players. So we try to get the best special teams players, you know, and don't always focus totally on talent. I'm trying to put them in a certain situation, in a certain position on the field that they're going to help our football team. And it really helps young guys because it's kind of like a, you know, introduction into college football. You know, he might only take, you know, seven snaps on the kickoff coverage, but those seven snaps he's going to learn the physicality-ness and the competitiveness and what it takes to prepare and the speed of the game before I throw him into the wolves on O or D. So that's the most intriguing thing to me is I get to work with everybody. It's one voice. The expectations are known. It's detailed, detailed, detailed. And the time management that you have to use is second to none. You know, for 3 hours a day, I'm the special teams coordinator. And then for 2 hours a day, I might be the DB coach. And for an hour a day, I'm the recruiting coordinator. So you got to have a plan. And you got to have a detailed plan. You got to have something you strongly believe in. You got to stick to it. And that's what we've done this past year, and that's why we feel that, you know, were our special teams where they wanted to be? No, not even close. How can we fix a lot of those problems? Recruiting. And we spend as much, I'd put us up against any staff in this conference with the amount of time that we have spent on our recruiting this year of getting the right type of guys in here, you know, and that comes down to getting the right players and the guys who love the game of football and are competitive and want to be here. And we get those guys here, get them on special teams. And now, to my earlier statement, now you got to kickoff coverage team who can run down and cover a kick. And I promise you, you could look at any level of football, high school, junior high, college, NFL. If they have good special teams, they're probably going to be a pretty good football team. So it holds true. And in time management of making sure you have a plan, understanding what you're doing, sticking to that plan, and making it simple so you can get reps and your players are ready for any situation that they might see in a football game. And that situational checklist, it could go on for days and days. And if you're backed up, onside, are you punting after a safety, end of game 11 up, which we saw this year. We a lot of situations that you got to make sure you have a detailed plan so you can get it all in fall camp.
Coach, you guys are doing some good things there at Muskie, and it's exciting, you know, to see what you'll do here in 2019. As you look at all the things you guys have done and you're doing as a coach, what would be the one thing you really feel gives your guys the winning edge?
Yeah, you know, I think, you know, the thing that we do is that sets us apart and goes back to how we do things. And gets, you know, first and foremost, it's how we, you know, how we recruit. It's how we develop relationships with the players on our football team. You know, the reason they play for you off the field is how you treat them off. And we develop relationships with them each and every day. And the recruiting, you know, and the relentless efforts. And I can't stress it enough. If we wanted to, you know, we sat down and said, what's going to put us over the edge to rebuild this thing? It's going to be recruiting. Coaches on the same page, communicating, working together, you know, getting the right type of players in here. Because when you got, you know, 718 high schools in the state of Ohio, and you got 30 Division III and Division II teams trying to get the same guys, you're going to have to go out there and you're going to have to find guys who love the game of football, who are competitive, who want to be great teammates and be accountable and want to be successful on and off the field. And we've done that. And regardless of X's and O's, we've done those things, and which we feel will be a direct correlation to us being successful on the field.
Coach Walker, again, thanks for taking the time here. Best of luck to you and the Muskies in 2019. Listeners, you can follow him on Twitter at Coach T. Walker. Coach, thanks again.
Thanks, yeah, I appreciate it. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to the podcast. Please check out all we're doing on Twitter at our Twitter handle for coaches at FBDEV Coach. Check out our systems for blocking, defeating blocks, and tackling at footballdevelopment.com. If you register there with your email address, you can get access to our shoulder tackle system, the entire system, as well as 3 free videos of your choice, either from advanced tackling or from our contact system, which is blocking and defeating blocks. This is some of the best stuff, some cutting-edge stuff, I think, that you're going to find is very efficient and effective in the way you teach your players. And there's a lot of drills here that help you improve that skill year-round. Check it out at footballdevelopment.com. Check out our coaches' notes on usafootball.com. Go to the resources tab for development and training. Our coaches' notes are given to us by coaches around the country, state champs, some of the NCAA leaders. Those guys have been doing a great job in putting that together in our tips format, which is teach, install, and problem solve. And in there, we also have further review, which we allow our clips to be downloadable, and you can download those and put them into your Huddle. No need for an extra subscription to a Huddle page. So check those out. And as always, go to blogs.usafootball.com for our show notes, our analysis articles, and coach. Finally, if you're enjoying the podcast, head over to iTunes and give us a 5-star rate. If you have a minute, write a review. It really helps out the podcast.
Thanks for listening to USA Football's Coach and Coordinator Podcast. For more resources, visit the Coach Performance Center at usafootball.com.